A slave, now I'm free,
free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of my past have been
Guilt is gone, peace is mine, peace like to a river. Jesus is so wonderful, mighty to deliver. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is me. He's my counselor, my prince of peace, the mighty God is he. This is all right, isn't it? Woo! One song, I think. Lord, I'm ready to take rapture goodness. Now. Just remind Amen. Me just how wonderful this is. It means everything to me.
Yes.
Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Yes. And not worry about circumstances.
Oh, no.
My dad went out back doing something he should not have been doing.
Okay.
My mom went mad at him saying, we pay someone to do this. Stop. My dad wouldn't stop out of his stubbornness. My mom goes back in the house, slips, fall, breaks her hip.
Okay. Oh.
That's the good news. Then in her stubbornness, she thought, well, it's going to be hard for paramedics to get me into the pantry. So she crawls into the dining room to make it easier on the paramedics. No sense whatsoever. While she's in the hospital, she has a little bit of a heart problem. They detected that her aorta was clogged and had to emergency surgery on her. That's what the heart problem was. That aorta did not become clogged in the 3 days she was in the hospital.
No.
God, instead of breaking her leg, broke her hip, sent her to the hospital to force her to do something about that.
Uh-huh.
The doctor thought they lost her twice during the surgery.
Wow.
She's alive today in ICU still because of that.
Amen.
Do not worry about Good the God. Circumstances. Remember. Remember what the
oh
end
my
goal
goodness.
Is.
Yes.
Thank you,
what Father. Happens tomorrow, who cares? I was able to tell my mom
Amen.
I loved her one more time while she's alive.
Oh.
That's what the blessings Ooh. Of God.
Amen.
Just sit back and watch it and just trust
yes.
God that he knows what he's doing. He can
Amen.
See around corners.
Amen.
All right. And I'm so grateful for that.
Amen.
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 Thank you for
yes,
that.
Lord.
I got a testimony.
Thank you for that.
Oh, happy. I'm happy. I'm just so glad to be here right now.
Yes.
You know, I had met a client. He got my flyer from Menards and gave me a call, and I came over, and he just needed a porch painted, and so I offered what you know I do and stuff like that, and he said, "Boy, you know, I just can't do nothing without Jesus." And I'm just like, "Oh,
Lord.
Don't get me started.
Don't say that.
Just," and then it was just back and forth, and like you know, we're just sharing our knowledge, you know, of the mystery.
Sure.
And he said something that we say in here, and it just tickled me. He said, He said, you can't live bad enough to miss it. Yeah. Can't live good enough to make it. I said, listen, I got to get to work here. So, because I'm going to go all day with you, bro. Like, right. I can't even. Stop now, please. Just so we had to put some water on it, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it'll take off, you know, and then you'll go by, you know, time will go right by, you know, eternity. Time has nothing to do with it.
That's right.
It's not bound by time. And I love, whenever you're talking about eternity, you got to go before the foundation, because that's when everything was fully established. Right. And you know, I was thinking about last Bible study we had, you know, Brother John, he said something. He said it was already foreknown. It was already foreseen. You know, all we're doing is literally falling back into his arms like a child. Right. Yeah. And we're this is a game to him. You know, he's like, just fall back. Bet I won't catch you.
Right.
You know, I'll always catch you, he said. Right, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
And then when the brother got up to testify, you know, I was holding on to some things, you know, and I had somebody coming in to do a job for me. Come to find out, you know, we waited all this time to get an answer from him, and never, you know, he came back with the answer I didn't want. But I still got an answer. So you got to use these things when things don't go your way. Right, you got to use this revelation, and you got to remember what's been said in here.
Things.
When things don't line up, when it looks like the circumstances are about to overtake you, no, you're going to overtake it.
Amen.
You're going to hurdle over it with a lot more to spare. And I'm so grateful to be here right now.
Amen.
Oh, my gosh.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you'll be doing a whole lot of singing.
Well, I'll sum up here. It's always good to come back to the house of the Lord and testify.
Amen.
So I was sitting there thinking about the last couple messages that we had, and this revelation that we get is so imperative. It is, and it shows you how much Brother Branham was valuable.
Yeah.
I mean, because without him opening up the seals of God revealing it to him, we would have never known the revelation at all. And that's so important. I mean, you got a lot of people now just thinking, you know, well, having their thinking on it, like, why can he be this? Why can he be that? Or looking at his flesh. But he gave us the word of God. And that's very important. And when I was having Bible study, and, you know, Brother Moore and the ministry was saying, you can't read like a storybook. You can't. You can't just pick that book up and just think you can read it like that.
You need some.
And it showed me more and more and more now that why we need the ministry. We
do.
We wouldn't have this without the ministry.
Amen.
It dovetails, and it's a beautiful thing, and I thank God that we actually have the book open, and we understand the book.
Yeah.
We do.
It's
a very beautiful thing, and I thank God for it. I really do.
Yes.
I don't want to overemphasize it at all. It means a lot to me. Mm. It does. Yeah. A lot of people can't say that. They say that, but I can.
Oh yeah.
I can say that. Truthfully. I can say it truthfully.
Yes.
And also, I want to say as well, we put the RSVB box in the back for the wedding. So if anybody wants to come, the box is back there. And also say too, you know, I know everybody works. So if you can't make it, don't feel bound. It will hurt my feelings because, you know, it's just not that deep. It's not. And if the Lord comes by then, you know what? Hey, we're all going to glory. That's how I look at it right now. I'm not.
Amen.
I like Pastor Moore said, take everything off your plate but the rapture. And I'm with it. I'm not worried about
that's
the glory.
That's right.
I'm not. If the Lord comes before the wedding, so be it.
So be it.
So I just wanted to say that.
Double win. Amen.
I got a testimony.
Amen.
Who's next?
You spoke.
No,
go ahead.
You go ahead and testify because we're getting some music. Right?
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's been a little while since I've testified. Really didn't have nothing to say other than that. God has been good to me.
Yes.
Very good to me. You know, we've been talking about revelation here lately and what Brother Brandon brought. And
that word, keep.
Keep.
Right.
I know so many people that I went to school with or church with in the past, you know, you say something about the rapture to them, you know, and they go, you know how many times I've heard that?
It's like they don't believe it anymore.
Right. Right.
They don't believe it anymore. But I do.
Amen.
I believe.
Oh my.
I believe everything that Brother Brandon bought. That church age book revealed to me so much of what God was doing.
Amen.
I mean, without that book, nobody knows, really.
Right.
Because the angel told him, and that's what's in that book.
Yeah,
so it came directly from God.
That's right.
And I was down at Memorial Day weekend down at my uncle's place down in Kentucky, and seeing all this devastation from the flood and all that and everything. And one Friday night, we were sitting on his porch. He said, and this is what he said. He said, boys, now, who is this Antichrist fellow? I said, well, I said, Paul said that the Antichrist spirit had been in the, was in the church at the very beginning.
Right.
And I said, it's been there all the whole time. Sure. I said, but if you're talking about a person, I said, I would look to Rome.
Right. Amen.
That's where I would look.
Amen.
I said, the purple and scarlet and the seven hills and all that. Anyway, it was just kind of weird. You know? We've been talking about that, and then that Friday night, he said, boys, who is this Antichrist fellow? And they've just, I got anointed.
You had the answer.
I had the answer. And it was
your point.
It was wonderful. I love it. I love being down in Kentucky to begin with.
Jesus.
And that was just great. But, yes, I have taken that little book.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I have ate it.
Uh-huh.
And another thing that God showed me here not too long ago, you know, Brother John said one day, I'm the Word.
Yeah,
and I've been a Trinitarian for a long time.
Oh, come on,
okay. A long time. I've been a Trinitarian, and I was reading First John. First John chapter 5, where it says, "These three something about
these three are one."
Right, the Father, the Word. I'm the Word.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So there I am.
Right.
Amen.
And of course, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all in God's timing.
Yes.
That's right.
You know, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide me into all truth.
Amen.
Amen.
And
he'll do what he's supposed to do.
And another thing Paul said, you know, I die daily. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's no longer I live, but Christ. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I mean, that's who, that's all I think about.
Amen.
I mean, because
amen, brother.
Paul said, don't judge any man after flesh.
Right.
Come on.
Even yourself.
Even myself.
Even right. Yourself.
Right. I've been judging myself for way too long. Way too long.
Yeah.
Because I am the Word.
I hear you, Lord.
Amen.
So, and also in First John, it says something about you can't impute sin.
Come
Isn't
on.
It First John?
Yeah.
And you cannot impute sin.
Yeah.
Two. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
The Word takes care of a lot of things.
Amen.
Oh yes, it does.
So it's the only thing that will take care of
anything. Amen.
So I just praise God. I'm looking forward to the Word today. I love y'all.
Amen.
Appreciate y'all. God bless.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
There is so much power in this room. It's just palpitating with power. You know, I know I can feel all of y'all, God, in the room.
Yes.
And here the Word is being spewed out, just spit out. It's thus saith the Lord right here, right now. We are conquerors. We are victorious, every last one of us. And I give God the praise for that. Oh, I just thank him for this hour, for this day, for the seals being broken. Saints, we know what it is now. I'm trying to hold myself. You know, I thank God I went and drew character tears yesterday. Strange way to meet God, ain't it? But every person that I met, I said, thank you, Jesus. Those faces came before me.
Yep.
And every life that you touch, he touches. Where you go, he goes. It took me so long to understand and to realize that I and the Father are one. Every time Jesus is speaking, how many times he said, I and the Father are one. And they hated him because you said you're making yourself equal with God.
Right.
But if we don't do it, we cannot do the job that God has called for us to do. So here am I, Lord. I'm part of the body, glad to be part of you guys. And here we are in this day, in this hour, to fulfill the Word of God for such a time as this. Now, amen, I'm gonna shut up. But not that the revelation isn't great. He's not gonna manifest it just through me. He's gonna do it through us. What a wonderful hour to be living. Okay, we want to dissolve into worship now, into that spirit, that atmosphere that I just feel just drenching us. We're going to remember all of those of us that are not here and claim what belongs to us. I want my mountain.
Amen.
It's a late hour and I'm not playing. I ain't got time to play.
Amen.
Okay, go ahead. I just want to say something. real quick. I just thank God for being here and just for you all. You are such a blessing to me. And I thank God for, even though, you know, I may be dealing with health issues, others in the body may be dealing with health issues, my mom and dad, I'm believing in God's healing for it. And that's all, you know. I know Satan wants to throw all these things at us, and darts and missiles and whatever else. But God's in control, and I believe he's already healed before I even see it. God's healed me, so.
Amen.
Have I said lately that I'm victorious? Have I told you lately that I'm healed? Amen. Have I told you lately, Satan, you listening? I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're in it to win it.
Yeah. All the way.
Just thinking about all the testimonies and stuff. I'm just so thankful to be here. I know I always say that, but I have some kind of life, and I don't ever want God to call up a rock to praise him when I can't. I wanted to sing his favorite song of all, because I do. I feel like I'm his favorite. I know I am. And and it's not that I get all that I want, like you were saying, you know, you got to know how to take the good with the bad, but man, I'm just blessed. And got a beautiful family, you know, and I get to come here.
Yes.
You know, I'm home. All right.
Amen.
He loves to hear the wind sing. as it whistles through the pines on mountain peaks. And he loves to hear the raindrops as they splash to the ground in a magic melody. And he smiles in sweet approval as the waves crash through the rocks in their harmony. And creation joins in unity to sing to him majestic symphony. But his favorite song of all is the song of the redeemed. When his bride with revelation lift their voices loud and strong, when those purchased by his blood lift to him a song of love. There's nothing more he'd rather hear, none so pleasing to his ear than his favorite song of all. Next. And he loves to hear the angels as they sing, holy, holy is the Lamb. Heaven's choirs sing in harmony as they lift up praises to the great I Am. When the waves through the rock begins to sing, a million angels listen as the newborn soul sings, I have been redeemed. But his favorite song of all is loud and strong, when those purchased by his blood lift to him a song of love. There's nothing more he'd rather hear, none so pleasing to his ear as his favorite song.
That's beautiful. Amen. That's beautiful. I love a song talking about the least. When you're talking about the least, of, it got me in there too, so I'm good. You know, I read a scripture the other day, or thought of a scripture the other day, looked it up, talk about frustrating the grace of God. You know, and that used to mean different things to me, but now I don't reject the word. I don't frustrate the grace of God. If he says it, I believe it.
Amen.
He's with me night and day. Never leave me. Never forsake me. I just believe that.
Amen.
I'm not going to frustrate his word. That's the thing that, if there's one thing I can do to irritate him, is doubt his word.
Amen.
And I sure don't want to do that.
Amen.
Got one song been on my heart for a couple weeks. When the saints go marching in.
Amen.
You know, these songs have some real words to them. There's some revelation behind a lot of these songs. And we'll get him up. 174, Only Believe book.
Okay.
Pilgrim and a stranger, here. But I belong over there. still grown and a stranger, just wandering through this world of sin. But I'm on my way to that fair city.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we sing when the saints come marching in, and we know that order that the saints are going to march. We know the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And God, as we come here this morning, we ask you to come amongst us and speak to our hearts. Lord, those who need a touch from you physically, Father, I ask you to move in their behalf. Lord, I ask you to move on this body and this congregation. Let us march like the soldiers that we are. Let us stand for this truth regardless of what Satan throws at us. Let us stand strong knowing that this hour that we're living in is the greatest hour there's ever been. And that they're the greatest people that you've ever known. And that, Father, we have the greatest revelation that's been ever given to mankind. And Lord, as we have matured to a point where we're at now, we ask you to help us to stand as saints of God, knowing who we are, standing on your promises, standing on your word, knowing that, Father, you said that you will stand with us. You'll go with us and you'll be with us until the end. Lord, I've opened up the book here this morning and ask you, Lord, to take the words that are laid out here and make it real to us. Speak to our hearts. Bless this body here and those that are tuned in, and Lord, that might need a touch from you, ask you to move on their behalf. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. We've got some away and some on vacations, and I want to bring to your attention, we got a sick brother. Amen. Brother Jay is very, very, very sick. He's lined up to receive a liver. He's on their list, the donors list. He's in ICU right now in Cincinnati. I've been going down there the last few days, and I'll be going back down this afternoon. Just keep him in your prayers and pray that God sends a donor. I said, whatever liver he gets is going to be a preaching liver. So we definitely want to hold him up. He's very, very sick. But God knows what he's doing. He knows how to do it. And, you know, I know sometimes people they're don't want you to know what's wrong with them, but I want you to know what's wrong with them, because I want you to be specific about your prayer. And that brings me to another thing, another point. I'm going to need my brothers to step up, because we got one minister down, and Jeremiah's busy working. He's going to be actually out of town on Wednesday. And I told him, said, don't stop doing your work. You do your job. I've got enough brothers here that we can handle this. Now, I'm going to put it like this. I got a teacher in the house. Teaches Sunday school. I got deacons in the house. I don't know what you tell me. The Bible tells me you're apt to teach. That's the word of God too. So, and sometime, I forget the actual term, but I like it. It says something like, it's more like crisis is just something of invention. What, I can't think of the, what is it? Necessity is a mother of invention. So I'm like, okay, we're in crisis mode here, people. Yeah. Not really, but I'm using it as a crisis. I could preach every service. Amen. And it wouldn't hurt my feelings. But, you know, I think it's time that some of you brothers who are hiding back there, I've been telling y'all for years, y'all need to step it up. And so now we're going to need you to do your job. Now, what I'm going to do, if you want to take Wednesday night, just let me know. I'm going to come prepared whether you come or not. And if, you know, I'll preach at a drop of a hat if I have to. And I'll drop the hat. But I'm just saying we're going to need, because this is going to be a while now. Jay's going to be sick for a while. And Jeremiah, I don't want him to slow down and hurt his career just because some of you brothers don't want to step up. Now, we ain't going to have that, are we, brothers?
Amen.
Okay, so we need brothers to step up. And Kevin's already told me, he said, I'll come and sit with Jeremiah on Sunday night. Kevin, I'm going to take you up on that. You can start tonight. He said, I'm going to step up and I'll help. If Jeremiah needs me to read something or you need me to find something, then he said, I'll do it. See, that's what we need. That's what you need. That's a body ministry. And it's not about your comfort level. See, the thing is, it's not about your comfort or mine. I'm not comfortable doing this. I worry, sweat, roll to bed, and everything else. And I get up and do it, and y'all act like I do it just because I love it to do it. It's not my nature. If you ever notice me, I'm a kind of person that get in the back of a crowd. I'm a person who's quiet. When it was Brother Childers here with me, I would go, and even when I was pastor, we would go down to the fellowship house, and I'd sit back in a corner and let Brother Childers just have at it, because, you know, he loved it, but I didn't love it. And so I'm like, you can take all the time you want. And so, no, I don't do this because I love to do it. I do it because the body needs it. And when the body needs something, you need to step it up. You know, you see an instrument sitting still, you need to get on it. I saw AJ the other day, the drums were empty, and he started coming up. I said, where's he going? And he went up to the journal. So that's what I'm talking about. You know, get in there and get with it. So I don't want Jeremiah to feel like it's all on him. Because there was a time it was just me and Brother Childers. And he preached Sunday and I preached Wednesday. And he preached Sunday and I preached Wednesday. And you know what? We got the job done. We got the job done. So you brothers, you need to don't put it all on Jeremiah. And you better not put it all on me. Because I'll come in here and you know what I'll do. I'll ask you brothers where you at, what you doing. So this is your opportunity to be a part of something that's real and something that we need. So so just so you'll know that. And continue to remember Jay in your prayers. And remember Dawn and Darsha. They're over in Indiana right now. And their sister Denise is in the middle of passing away. And so, you know, that's hard on them. And so remember Dawn and her family, you know, and keep that in your prayers. And while I'm at the hospital yesterday with Jay, I found out my stepsister's husband, I'm not used to calling him stepsister, she's just my sister. Her husband passed away Thursday, so I'm supposed to be leaving town on the 19th, and I've changed my flight to the 20th because she wants me to do the funeral, and I told her I would do it. And she said, oh, no, don't change your flight. I can get somebody else. I thought, you know what? That's my job. You know, that's what I do. And so Clarice and I are still going to Florida, but I told the earlies we won't be there till the late on the 20th. So it's going to be a lot of moving parts, and we need the body to be behind the moving parts. And even after Jay has the surgery and coming home, he's going to need some help from the brothers here, and we're going to have to help Courtney and the kids and the family, and just keep them all in your prayers, because it's not just Jay, it's Courtney. Courtney hadn't slept in 4 days, and you know, and so, you know, just keep the family in your prayers, and as we move forward, because we got a job to do. You know, we got to pray Jay back, because he's got some preaching to do, and we got a message to get out. We don't have time for Satan, you know, so we want to all band together as a body and hold them up, and Dwayne's going to take me down after church today, because I usually am so tired when I get finished preaching Sunday morning. I stopped going to KFC by myself because I was falling asleep in the food line trying to wait for my car to go out. I said, I can't do this anymore. I gotta. So Dwayne's going to take me down. I appreciate him taking me down. And but we've got work to do. None of us can stop. None of us can look at it and say, well, it's not important. It's your message just as much as it is my message. So we've got things we got to do, and we'll still get out. We'll still go. We'll still do. But we're just going to need your help in making some of these things happen. So it may be a point there. Jeremiah and I both are out of town, and, you know, you're all going to have to pick up and take it and run. I don't know. I mentioned a couple of people. Why do your name keep coming up? I said, I mentioned to a couple of people yesterday, and they were like, Don? You're not the only one here. But I mean, I just said they people respect you. You know, sometimes you might think nobody notices you, but you're very much noticed here, and appreciate it. But so we got things to do. So Wednesday night, between now and Wednesday, if you want to do Wednesday, let me know, and I'll pick up where you leave off. You know, you say, well, I can only do 15 minutes. You take 15, I'll take an hour and a half. whatever you want to do, and it's not, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I got to do this now, and I got to no, you. Ask God what he wants you to do, because that's what I do. I don't just get up here. I ask God what he wants, and I would expect you to do the same. I don't want you to just get up here because, like I said about even like song leading, don't just get up here and lead song because there's an empty mic. Carry a tune. You know, you know, your gifts and your callings, you know, do what you can do. Don't do what you can't do. And some people can't get up here, and I get it. I understand. But if you can and God deals with you, then step out. Huh? Stay in your vocation where you are called. So it's good. So I'm going to get started this morning. I got a message I want to bring and pray for Jeremiah. He's down at Little Bethlehem this morning. They start services at 11. That's why he's not here today. And he's going to be down there. And Warren and Crystal went with him. So they're down there with him. And I appreciate them going. And it's good to go sometime. You know, you don't have to go all the time, but it's good to go. It's a good experience. And it's a good experience to have people in. You know, you never know how good or how bad your house is till you go visit somebody else's house. You might think you're living in Taj Mahal, yeah, but until you go to somebody else's house, then you realize, you know what, I need to step it up on my dusting. I need to, you know, but so it's good to have people in. It's good to get out and do some things. But it's no place like home. There's no place like home. And we're in the middle of 2023. Yes. This is a busy year for us. A lot of things going on. And I told you Satan was going to hit us. And you all should already be expecting it. So that's not a surprise for us. We've known in advance. But that's all right. We got a job to do, and we're going to do it. Amen. You know. So, and it's, I was looking because, you know, you got to understand, Jay's not just my minister. Jay's my friend. Amen. Jay's my son. Jay's my barber. I looked in the mirror today. I told Clarice, I guess I'm going to have to cut my own hair. I mean, Jay's means a whole lot to me. He really does. And so it's personal to me. And but that's okay. God's got him. I've still got to do my job. And so we'll do that this morning. So if you turn me over to John chapter 9, I want to start there reading a couple of verses here. This is a little bit of a lengthy reading. I want to read it because, and the reason I'm going to read the whole thing is because it gives you the whole picture. Sometimes I try to pull a verse or two out just so that we can get the concept or the verse. But this story is so good, I wanted to read the whole thing. So I apologize in advance for the length of the scripture, but I don't. I love reading the word. So John chapter 9, and we want to start at verse 13. Now, this is the story we all know about the blind man. But I want to read it because I want to get something out of this. And they brought to the Pharisees him that was aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And again the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he kept not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such a miracle? See, they were tore up. One thought he was a sinner, and they said he couldn't be a sinner because he did these miracles. So they were all messed up amongst themselves. And there was a division among them. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. That's what he thought. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents. They didn't believe he was blind. They thought that he wasn't blind. You just made that up. They said, we don't believe him. They didn't and received a sight until they called the parents of him that had received a sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, whom you say was born blind? How then does he now see? They didn't ask his parents. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know it not. I don't know. Or who hath opened his eyes? I don't know. We know not. He's of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Kick him out of church. Wow. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And I want to title this message this morning, Maturing to a Full Age. And I want us to start here, because there's so much in there. Here you got the church world trying their best to prove that Jesus wasn't the Christ. They had all kind of excuses and reasons why he was a bad liver, why he couldn't do what he was doing, why he shouldn't have been the one that did what he did. And they're like, give God the glory. Don't talk to them. Don't tell us about that, man. Give God the glory. But they didn't understand that God was moving in the land. But they were so immature that they couldn't even understand that God was doing this. They thought there was some kind of trick. They thought that the man was never blinded from the beginning. They thought that his parents lied. He lied. They thought that they made all this up. And then they got mad because Jesus did this on the Sabbath. They had all kind of reasons and excuses why they didn't want to accept what was happening. And this young man, who knew he was blind, and he wasn't caught up in the politics of the day. He wasn't worried about the Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecost. He wasn't worried about what they said, what they thought about Jesus. He wasn't worried about any of those things. All he knew, he only knew one thing. His parents, they didn't have an experience. They didn't know what was going on. They were trying to figure out a way to get out of it. They were trying to hold their religion because they didn't want to get kicked out of the Baptist church. They wanted to make sure that they were in the clear. So they threw their own son under the bus. But the thing I liked about it, and what I pulled out of that scripture reading, is that he was of age. He was mature. He could speak. See, when you're a child, somebody's got to speak for you. When you're a child, you don't know the right from the wrong. When you're a child, you don't know how to make the right decisions. And that's why God don't even hold children accountable until they are of age. Here is parents trying to get out of the problem, trying to keep their church fellowship door open. Threw their son under the bus, say, he's of age. But they don't realize that's the best thing that they could have said.
That's right.
Because when you become of age, you speak for yourself. Right. You can't even vote until you are of age. You can't drive until you're of age. Your mind is not even fixed to where it can make proper decisions until you are of age. And here this young man had reached a point in his life where he was of age. God likes it when you are of age. You can't even speak for yourself until you are of age. So here he was. He wasn't smart. He wasn't educated. You know, when you come to this message, a lot of times you come to the message and you get your first revelation and you go running back to your family to try to explain what you have and you can't explain it to them. And you don't know what you got. And that's why I tried to voice this to spirits and bringing her here, because I didn't know what I was in. I thought maybe I was in a cult or something, and I didn't want to be responsible for bringing somebody to a cult.
Right.
I was not of age. I was still a child. I spake like a child. I acted like a child. I had an imagination. I tried to figure this out on myself. But then I became of age. How did I become of age? I got a new birth. I got a revelation. I got an understanding. And I didn't know everything, but I knew what I knew. See, that's the thing I love about a revelation. You don't have to know it all. You just have to know what you know. That's somebody that's of age. That's somebody that's mature. You don't have to know this whole revelation. You don't have to read every 100 or 1,000 books of this message. You don't have to be able to quote the scripture front to back, back to front. You don't have to be able to do all these things. All you got to know is what God showed you. That makes you of age. And that man, he was standing there. He wasn't political. Actually, I think this is comical because he wasn't political. He didn't have any idea about their doctrines, about the difference between the Sadducees and Pharisees, between the Baptists and the Pentecostals and the Catholics. He didn't know all the details of that. All he knew was that he was blind. He didn't know that. He knew he was blinded. He knew he didn't know what was going on. He knew he couldn't see, but he also knew Jesus. And he said, I don't know about your politics. I don't know about your denominations. I don't know about all these other things. But one thing I do know is I was blind and now I see. They said he's this, he's that. He did it on the Sabbath. He's not even a God. He's all these. They tried to tell him. They tried to throw all the dirt on Jesus. And the man wasn't worried about the dirt. The man didn't care about what Jesus was. The man didn't care about where Jesus was born. They didn't want to care. He wasn't caring whether Mary was a virgin or not. See, sometimes we get so churchy that we got to have certain things a certain way before we're going to serve God. We got to have certain things in place. That's a child. But that man wasn't a child. He knew for himself. Jesus Christ had opened his blinded eyes. Though he couldn't explain nothing else. That's maturity. That's somebody that's a full age. That's somebody who could speak for himself. You know, you got to be able to speak for yourself. You can't go on somebody else's revelation. I don't care how spiritual your husband is. I don't care how spiritual your wife is. I don't care how much your parents go to church. You got to know God for yourself. You have to have that one thing that I always say we got away from. You have to have your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This young man had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you don't have to know it all, but you have to know what you know. You can be 16 and have an understanding. You say, well, I got to wait till I get 21. Mm-mm. When you start hearing the word of God and you start understanding the word of God, that's God quickening his word to you. That's God personally coming and speaking to you. Because before God spoke to you, you didn't understand nothing. You weren't paying attention. Here's a young person playing games, trying to get out of here as fast as you can so you can get back home to your Nintendo or whatever it is. You weren't worried about church. You weren't worried about paying attention. Like Jeremiah said, he come to church with his mom and dad for years. And then finally one day he said, you know what? Why don't I just sit and listen and see? Let's see what they're really saying here. And he said, I'm sitting here, so I might as well pay attention. That's somebody that's getting mature. Amen. That's somebody that's coming of age. That's somebody who's starting to be able to talk to God for themselves. And that's the way you are when you come to the house of God. You're not coming here because of anybody else in this place.
That's right. No, no.
And if you are, you're not mature.
Yeah.
If you're not able to recognize God's voice for yourself, you're not mature. If you can't understand the word of God when it's spoken, you're not mature. But once God starts speaking to you and dealing with you, you come here if nobody comes here. That's why I said you brothers have to step it up because we got work to do. We're not just sitting in a church. We got work to do. We're mature saints.
Amen.
Nothing's going to stop this word of God. Nothing's going to slow it down. Nothing's going to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. Nothing's going to keep us from eating the word of God. The children of God will be fed by the word of God. Because we are of age. We're not worrying about ourselves. See, his parents are not of age. They were old. They're old fools. They're standing right with Jesus where he was. They could have got the same blessing that he got.
They could have had the same testimony he had. They could have said, you know what? You might be right. It may have been the Sabbath, but you know what? You might throw us out of the church, but all I know is our son was blind, but now he sees. I see that for myself. That's the line they should have taken. That's what they should have done. But because they were worried about what everybody else thinks, they were political. They were politicized. They wanted to make sure they said the correct thing. They did this. See, when you're too correct, God can't even use you. When you come here with your testimony already written down so to a point that God can't even tell you nothing. And you get up and you tell me and read everything. And I'm not talking about somebody take notes because you don't want to forget a certain topic. I get that. I'm talking about somebody who gets up here and reads the whole testimony. By the time you get to the end of testimony, I'm asleep. That ain't God. That's somebody that needs an experience. Because when you are in the, when you're in the middle of a traffic accident, you know. You know what happened. She ran the light. She come left the center. I saw it for myself. And you don't have to worry about trying to write it down and say, well, I need to get all this together, because you know what? You experienced it. You're a witness. God wants you to be a witness. When you come to church, you're a witness. You're a witness into what God's done for you. You're a witness that God's been good to you. You come to the house of God, and I don't need no long list of things to tell you and testify. I get up here. I come up here, and I just let God have it, because that's what you need to do, because I'm a witness that he's good. I'm a witness that he heals. I'm a witness that he saves. I'm a witness that he keeps. I'm a witness that he reveals. That's all happened to me. I don't have to tell you about what's happened to you. That's all that's happened to me. And when I get up here, all I do is tell you what I've witnessed. That's who we are. This young man only had one thing to do. He said, I know I'm blind, but now I see. He said, you may even be right about that man, Jesus. I don't know. You may be right. But you know what? That's not important to me. See, when you get to the right things, all this other stuff don't even matter. When people leave church, they leave for all the wrong reasons. They do. They got this one they hate. They got that one they don't like. They got this one they did. They got reasons, their personal lives. So they got all kind of reasons why. But if you ever run into Jesus one time, amen, he'll fix your wagon till you'll never get away. Amen. That man never forgot about Jesus. Right. He may have forgot about the high priest that he was talking to. Right. He may have even left his family and forgot about his parents because he got kicked out of church. You know he got kicked out of church. You know he got kicked out. So he wasn't able to go to church with his family. The high priest never saw it, but he wasn't worried about that. All I know is I can see. When I come to this message, when I come out of apostolic, and I heard this message, and when I matured, all I knew was, I told Brother Childers, I said, Brother Childers, I want what you got. I want what you got. I knew I didn't have it. I knew I wanted it. And I knew I couldn't get it anywhere else. They said, well, when I went to talk to a good friend of our family, she's a teacher. I told her I was coming to Fairborn. I said, yeah, my pastor, he's a used car salesman. She looked at me and said, Nate, you can't trust no used car salesman. They're as crooked as could be. But I looked at it, and I thought, you might be right. Brother Childers might have sold you a car, jacked the price up. He may have put the front in a one car together with the back in of another. You might be right. He might have got that house really cheap and raised the rent really high. You might be right. He might be driving that Renault to save money on gas because he's tight. You might be right. But all I know is that I was blind. Amen. And this man preached to me. And when I heard the words from his mouth, my eyes were open and now I see. Once you find out for yourself, Then it's no longer you and the girls, because I came here with Clarice and Nadine. God told me, this is your home. And I said, okay, let me talk it over with Clarice and Nadine. He repeated. He said, no, I said, this is your home. And I'm like, yes, sir. And that showed me right there. It's like, it's not about me and the girls from Dayton. Well, matter of fact, one out of two of them ain't even here today. So it's not about you coming. I've seen people come to church here on the arm of one person and end up on the arm of another. I've seen one come and one go. I've seen both come and I've seen both go. I've seen all kind of stuff in 40 years. But the one thing I do know is when you come to the house of God, it's not about you and who you're with. It's not about who you're sitting next to. It's not about who you're buddying with. It's about something personal between you and Jesus Christ. And you're a mature saint, and you and God's got something going on if nobody else has it. Like I said, Wednesday night, I'll be ready to preach. Oh, yeah, I ain't counting on you. You might let me down. But one I know that I can count on. He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I know he'll be right here with me. When I get behind that pulpit, he shows up. Amen. He's here now.
Yeah. Amen.
He's never left me here alone. He's never sent me to church and didn't show up. He said where two and three are gathered, I'd be in the midst. He's always here.
Amen.
But it takes a mature saint to recognize that. Everybody else is looking, oh, this is the Sabbath. Oh, he's a Jew. Oh, he was his mother. There's a rumor about his mother. There's rumor about those disciples. They're no good. They hung around a prostitute. I saw Jesus. I was at a distance. I didn't get close. I saw Jesus leaning on this well, and this woman is there, and she had six husbands. I know that wasn't no good, because I know he sent those disciples to town, all 12, to get a loaf of bread. Something's wrong with this picture. See, sometimes God's doing something and you misunderstand it because you're not mature.
Come on. Amen.
Brother Branham said, the blind man that I spoke of a while ago, he couldn't argue theology with him. He knew nothing about it. They could say why so-and-so said so-and-so and so-and-so. He said, I don't know about your theology. But this one thing I know, where I was blind, I can now see. His father and mother never had that kind of faith. They said, oh, they'll put us out of the synagogue. So you ask him, he's of age. Brother, there wasn't nothing wrong with him. He said, it's strange. Said, I'm no theologian. I can't argue you scripture that you've talking about. But you said that you knew God healed. But this man, you know not where he come from. Now, this is a strange thing that this man came here and can open my blinded eyes, and you, the leaders of religion, don't know from where he's come? Brother, he was a theologian in my book. As Brother Brown said, he was the one that was a theologian. He knew where Jesus came from. He said, you religious people, you're acting like you know God, and you don't even recognize him when he's standing right in front of you. Brother, he's a theologian. He had an argument. The rest of them couldn't settle. That's all. How are you going to say you don't have no record of his coming? You don't know no record on your books of his schooling, where his education come from, or nothing. You don't know from whence he come. Yet the man that gave me my sight. Pretty good argument, wasn't it? See, that's the way it is with the church world. When you get your eyes open under the word of God, you may not know all the doctrines. They can cover you with their theology. They're much smarter than you. They're much better read than you. But I'm not doing this off of theology. I'm doing this out of an experience, a personal experience, that I'm only telling you what God's done for me.
Amen.
And that's what this little guy did. He told them, he said, I don't know about all this other stuff, but I just can tell you what he's done for me. You don't know where it come from? You don't know how what he's done. You said he's done it on the Sabbath. Maybe all that's well and done. But you know what? All I know is I was blind.
That's it.
When I look at people, they don't like this message. They turn it down. They say it's a cult. They say all these other things. Yeah, that may be so. Call it what you want. It doesn't even matter. But all I know is I was blind, but now I see. Amen. I have more love for God now than I ever had in my life. Amen. I serve God better now than I've ever done in my life. Yeah. It turns me on more now than it did 40 years ago. Yeah. It's done more for me than any man on this face of the earth. Yeah. And you're going to tell me that it's wrong. You're going to tell me that it's a cult. You're going to tell me that we're following a man. You're going to tell me we're following a dead man. You follow what you want and you think what you want. But all I know is I was blind, but now I see. When you become of age, you start talking for yourself. Nobody else can testify like you. Nobody else can tell it like you can tell it. Nobody's been where you're going. And nobody else can. You say, well, you know, I really don't like when people say, well, they got up and they said everything I want to say. No, they didn't. Mm-mm. You ain't never going to say everything I want to say. You might hit and miss it. You might get a little bit of it, but you ain't going to say everything. It ain't going to be said until I say it.
That's
right. Service ain't even complete until I complete it. That's why I close every service.
Amen.
Y'all think, well, he sat there the whole night. But my times are coming. It ain't even a service till I say something.
Amen.
It's not even complete till I say something.
No.
And you should feel the same way.
Amen.
If you don't feel the same way, you need to get mature.
Yeah.
Because when you're a grown up, nobody speaks for you. Y'all get mad if I went and voted for you. Said, oh, I'm going to go. My name is Chris Loudon.
Right.
And I'm going to vote for him. Chris is like, that's not me.
Right.
You can't vote for me.
Yeah.
You can't speak for me.
Amen.
You don't know who I want in office and who I don't want in office.
Right.
You don't know if I want Republican, Democrat, or Independent.
Right.
You don't know. You get out of that booth and let me do my own. See, that's a mature person.
Yeah. Right.
That's somebody who knows who they are.
Amen.
So when you come to the house of God, it ain't even right until you testify.
That's
where you should feel about it.
Yeah.
When you're mature, that's where you feel about it.
Amen.
You say, but you just testify. I see sometimes y'all double dip. They get up and talk, and then they go sit down. 10 minutes later, like, okay.
Yeah.
Think we forgot. But when you know what you're talking about, nobody can say it for you. When you're of age, when you're mature and you're full age, you got to speak. As a matter of fact, it wouldn't even make you happy, somebody else speaking for you. That's why you got to come to the house of God. Come here because you're like, I got something to say. I got something to do. So here he was. He was full age. And I want to go to another example before I move further. And I got this Wednesday night. Listen to Jeremiah. Rebecca, chapter 24 of Genesis. Go and turn over there if you can. I'll just read it. And here was a young lady. Eliezer was sent out to go find a wife for his master's son, Isaac. And Jacob was going to need a wife, and they were trying to figure out how to do this, and Eliezer figured out a way. He put a fleece out before the Lord. And then Rebecca came and did exactly what he needed to see. He knew it was God. Well, he couldn't just take her. He had to go to the house, and he brought gifts. You know, he's buttering up the dad. He's buttering up the brother. Getting on gifts, getting on all this stuff, trying to take, you know, just making them feel like, you know, you really like us. But he didn't care about the dad. He didn't care about the brothers. He didn't care about the money, the gifts. He didn't care. None of that was his. It was his master's. All he wanted to do was bring Rebecca back. In chapter 24, verse 51, says, behold, Rebecca is before thee. Take her and go. And let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord had spoken. That sounds easy. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. He was so happy. Hallelujah. I got the permission. I got the girl. My master's going to love me. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. He's passing them out. And gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, and he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away with my unto my master. And he's like, and his brother's like, this is a brother. You know how brothers are. Nobody was good enough for my sisters. And we were six of us boys, and we always had to get them in a room and interview them. They had it rough. and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she can go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing that the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire of her. In other words, she's of age. Ask her for yourself. That turns God on. When somebody speaks for themselves. And it said, and inquire at her mouth, speaking out of her own mouth. That's why you need to testify. They said, we'll call the damsel and inquire of her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, will thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. She didn't hesitate. She didn't have to think twice. She didn't have to look at her brother, confer with her mother. When you are a mature saint of God, you'll turn quickly to the Word. You won't have to wait around for somebody else. Well, let me see what my wife says. Let me see what my husband does. Let me see if the kids enjoy. No. No. This is what you're going to do. This is what I'm going to do. She made up her mind so fast it spun their head. Brother Branham said, and so they went down, and that beautiful Rebekah came out and got water. And he prayed and watered the camels and whatever more. And then you notice Rebekah, the final choice had to come to Rebekah. He asked the father for the girl. He asked the mother for the girl. And they neither one could agree. Wanted her to stay a while. He said, don't hinder me on my work. And Rebekah had to make a choice. Because he said, she's the maid. Let her make her choice. And as soon as it was made to her, quickly her mind was made up. She said, I'll go. And she mounted up the camel and went to meet. Look, the very camel she watered was a camel that packed her to the bridegroom. Yeah. And all of her success, and the very camel, the very power of, he said, the beast in the Bible represents power. And the very power that we give water and praise to, amen, water life, praise to, the word is the very thing that packs us into glory land to meet the bridegroom. Yes, sir. So you got to make up your mind. You got to water your camel. Because that same thing that you're watering is the same thing that's going to take you from here to glory. And it's not about everybody. It's about you. It's not about me and you. It's about you. It's a personal revelation, personal relationship between you and Jesus Christ. And when you're an adult and when you're mature, you have to make up your mind for yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. See, that's the way they are when they're not mature. When you're not mature, you can always tell a saint that's not mature. They're up and down, in and out. One day God's got them. Hallelujah. They get up and testify. God sent me here. Yeah. Next thing you know, they come back. Oh, I'm having a rough time. Can't make it. I don't know if I'm going to be here next week. I'm going to check out another church. I'm going to, and then come back. Hallelujah. This is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Yeah. Then come back the next week. Well, you know, I don't like that Sister Clarice. I can't go to church. If she's going to be there, I'm not going to be there. That's not a mature saint. That's a child. They're speaking like a child. They're acting like a child. They're playing around with the message like a child. When I was a child, I speak as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away all those childish things. Yeah. When you become mature, you're not so wishy-washy. You're not in and out. You're just in. You're not up and down. You're just up. You're not changing every day. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, just like Jesus Christ. You're mature. You're solid. That's why these old saints, and I don't mean old as in age, old. I just mean you've been around a while. These old saints here in this church, you ain't going to move them. They ain't going nowhere. They've been through the fire. They've been through the flood. They've been talked about. They've been disowned. They've been, and they've been through it all. And they're like, whatever. Whatever. It doesn't even matter now. That's what that mature young man said. He said, you may be right, but all I know is I see. You may not see. I see. When they tried to tell me that they were following a man, that we're following a man, I'm like, you got to speak for yourself. I'm not following a man. I wasn't following Brother Earl Childers. I wasn't following Brother William Branham. The only man I'm following is the man Christ Jesus. Amen. And it wasn't even the man there I was following. Right. I was following the God in Christ. Right. 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 So I never followed a man. The man had to go to Calvary. The man had to die. The man had to shed his blood. The man had to pay the price for my healing. The man had to pay the price for my sin. But it wasn't the man that I was going after. It was the God in the man. It was God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. It was God in Brother Childers. It was God in Nate Moore. It was God in William Branham. It's God in you. That's a mature saint. That's somebody who knows what they're talking about. Then you're not tossed. When everybody comes at you with all this other stuff that these children are playing around with, you ain't gonna play around with it. Just gonna send them on their way. Go back out in the yard. Or like Jay, I always crack up. Jay said, he said, I'm turning into an old man. I'm a sinner. It's like, get off my grass. That's a mature saint. That's somebody who knows what they got. And they know where they are. They know where they're at. I ain't worried about you. I ain't trying to convince you. I'm not even trying to convince you I'm your pastor. I know who I am. I'm not trying to convince you I'm a saint of God. I know who I am. I'm not trying to convince you I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going. I'm just about my Father's business. You should be about your Father's business. Got to know it for yourself. Can't take a secondhand testimony. Can't take and talk after somebody else. A mature saint will stand up and be accountable for themselves. Amen. And don't care what anybody thinks. AJ didn't care what anybody thought when he climbed up on those drums. No. It's like, didn't ask nobody. He didn't ask. I should be insulted. He didn't ask me. He didn't ask me. But that's the way it is in the house of God. If you see it, it's yours. You're trying to do what you can to bring the best out of this message. Amen. Your part. I'm trying to do my part. I'm putting my best foot forward. I'm trying to come here. I put on a suit. I put on a suit for y'all. You know it's hot in this thing? You know I can breathe better without this tie? Yeah. But I do this for you. We do what we do for others. Eternal life is what you do for others. I don't believe in half throwing something together. I guess that's a little bit of my OCD. I like to make sure everything lined up, straightened up. I'll go buy something. I was in the living room the other day, and the rug was like that. I was like, I was walking by and stopped. I want it right. That's my very nature. I want things right. I want the church right. I want the word right. I want a real understanding. I want this to be a personal relationship between you and God. I don't want you loving God because you love me. Loving me won't get you nowhere. I didn't die for your sin. It's so funny. I heard somebody say here a few weeks ago, I guess one of the visiting ministers, it said, you get mad at people in church and then you leave God. It's like, what did God do? They're children. They're childlike. They're just immature.
Okay. I'm going to skip that. Go down to Matthew 13, where we're talking about the wheat. Remember the wheat and the tares growing? God didn't try to worry about them when they weren't mature. When they're just little blades of grass, the wheat, do you realize when they're children, they look alike? The wheat and the tares look alike when they're not mature. My mama, she used to always watch us in the garden because we do a garden every summer. And my mama always watched us, especially at the beginning. Because we'd go down the row and give us a hoe, we're deadly. We're just hoeing. And when we get through with the row, we look back and say, well, where's the row? You got to let it set. You got to let it mature. You got to let it grow. And as it matures, whatever's in it's going to come out. Those two blades of grass, if they're really corn, it's going to outgrow the grass. Because the grass is going to get so high, it's like petered out. It ain't got nothing left. But that corn's going to get up about 6 foot. If it's good corn, run Steve. It'll get tall enough that it won't even worry about the grass. There comes a point Steve stops worrying about the weeds. Amen. See, when it matures, and I should let Steve tell you this because he can tell you a whole lot more about it than me. He knows when he stops worrying. Right. When that wheat outgrows the grass to a certain point, Steve stopped worrying about the grass because he knows the wheat's going to mature and a shadow of the wheat's going to stop the grass growth. Right. And as that wheat matures, it's going to get stronger and it's going to look, it's going to turn into what was planted. It's going to manifest itself. Its fruit will show exactly who it is. And when in Matthew 13, those two were growing together. And Jesus was telling about this parable about the sower that went forth and he sowed. And then his servants wanted to go out there and take care of it. Said, let it mature. Don't worry about it. Said, let it grow together. Until harvest. Until the maturity time. Harvest time and maturity time is the same thing. And in the time of the harvest, I will send my reapers. And gather you first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. That's all that's going to happen to them. But gather the wheat into my barn. He's going to take it home. But you got to leave it in there and let it mature. We try to help Christians. Worst thing you can do for a chick coming out of an egg is help it. Tear a wing off. Just leave him alone. The very fact that he's pecking his way out of his shell is making him stronger. We get people in church, first thing we want to do is convert them. Change them, move them, fix them, patch them. Make them look like us. Go out and pass out all blue suits and say, hey, all you brothers, put these blue suits on. And we all look. Look like the FBI. We try to fix each other, try to make each other. Just let them grow. As you mature, you get stronger. As you mature, you start looking more and more like the grain. You start looking more and more like your father. You know, me and my brothers, we look more like our dad than we ever have in our lives. I look at my oldest brother, I say, my goodness, you look like daddy. But that's because he's matured. Just let them grow. That's what the sower said. Just let them grow. We'll get them when it's time. Brother Branham said, now look, Luther sowed a grain. And Luther was a grain, and he sowed it. All right? So was Wesley, and so was Pentecost. So were the Baptists, the Nazarenes. But you see now, Luther wouldn't go back and live in the light of the first denomination, Catholic. No, sir. He was another light. That was God ripening something. Now, a little
minority came out of that, the Lutheran revival. Then came along Wesley revival. And then in that, why they couldn't go back and do the Lutheran, see? And then along come the Pentecostals. And then the Pentecostals organized and done the same thing, taking the husk, notice. But the grain goes right on. Now when we're in another age, why won't they receive it? Why won't they see the grain is matured? You know, if they could just hear what we preach, and they would understand that this is a mature bride now. The grain's matured. Here's a promised word for this day. Why don't they see it? Brother Brennan was patting on his Bible. Because they're living in Lutheran's glare, Wesleyan glare, Baptist glare, Pentecostal glare. They're living in the glare of another light. That's the reason they can't receive the light of the total word. Because they're being a vindicated, as God promised, them seven seals, why the whole mystery was revealed. They'd come back and tell what these mysteries were done like that. And yet, when they come in, they walk farther away from it than ever. They're without an excuse, Brother Branham said. In the hour we're living in, when this message, do you realize when people come under this message, this is the greatest thing that they could get under. Amen. And for you to come here and to turn around and walk away, you're without an excuse. Amen. You really are. I mean, in the ages, they were blinded. They didn't know what was going on. But in an hour, when God has made this thing so plain and so clear, and he's just bringing it so... And the church is matured. We're not tossed like they were back in the ages. When Luther thought, oh, well, Lord, please somehow save me. Maybe somehow I can get there. Maybe somehow I can be a part of it. Maybe somehow you can do something for me. No, that's not your prayer. You're not trying to get... We're talking about taking loved ones and taking teachers and taking people with us. Right. We're so not worried about ourselves going that we're looking at everybody else and saying, well, not only am I going, but I'm going to take you with me. Right. Right. That's maturity. Right. That's back to the grain again. Because do you know what Jesus did when he was here?
Yeah.
He walked the earth and he wasn't worried about his salvation. He knew who he was.
Yeah.
And when he walked to the face of the earth, all he did was took people with him.
Right.
That's what the original grain did.
That's right.
What's the mature grain going to do?
Yeah.
We're moved right back into what Jesus did. You don't even understand how much you have.
Yeah.
We're sitting here walking, taking people with us, taking our loved ones, taking our families, taking our friends. We're not even worried about us. We're taking other people with us, and we're looking at everybody. We're like, who can go with me? Who wants to go with me? You forgot that you should be worried about your salvation. We forgot what it was to lose sleep thinking that you lost God. When I was an apostolic, you could lose God. And you would lose sleep because you worried that you weren't going to have enough to make it, or you didn't speak in tongue enough to get there, or your life wasn't good enough to go. We forget how much we have lost from all that. We are so settled in the Word of God, and we're doing just like Jesus did, walking around here taking people with us.
Amen.
Taking people with us.
Amen.
Not worrying about going. It's so far out of our mind.
Right.
We don't even think about it. That's how mature you are. You're not even thinking about whether or not you're going or not. You're guaranteed to be there. You got your token. You know what it is. You understand clearly who you are. And you're not worried about your salvation. You're worried about the salvation of other people. And what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And what you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. We ain't never used that scripture like we're using it in this day. We are so much like the grain. And people didn't like the grain when he was here. He picked corn on the Sabbath. He did all the things contrary to their tradition. And we're doing the same thing in the hour that we're living in. This mature bride is doing the same thing in this hour. And we're going against every tradition. And they can't stand it. That's when you know when you are. You can't help it. You're mature. You're just like your father. You look like him. You talk like him. You walk like him. You have his boldness. We don't have wimpy Christian testimonies here. No, somebody pray for me. I really want to go to heaven, but I don't know. I'm not sure if I can get there. I'm not sure. I don't know. The devil's telling me that I'm not one of them. I don't have a life that's good enough. I'm not living good enough. I got problems. I need to lay down stuff. I need to do. Do you realize every problem you have is going to drop as soon as you change this body? I don't care what kind of problem you have. When you change tabernacles, you don't worry about it. You know, Brother Childers got a place. He didn't worry about those houses. And he loved those houses. And he'd drive around the neighborhood every day and look at every one of them and make sure they're all. We'd be working at church, and Brother Church come driving by, making his rounds. But when you get ready to lay this tabernacle down, you forget the houses. You forget the land. You forget. You eventually forget your family. You love your family, and you think, oh, my family is everything. Yeah. Not quite.
Mm-hmm.
No, he was talking about. Yes, he did. For an hour straight.
Yeah.
He wasn't worrying about his kids, his family, his houses, and anything. So when you get to the place where you're going to change houses, you lay all this down. Do you realize we're at a place where we're getting ready to change houses?
Amen.
I ain't just talking about death. I'm talking about we are going to change. We really are going to change houses.
Yeah.
And when you get ready to change houses, you don't worry. You know, when I moved from Main Street to my new address,
right.
I stopped worrying about the shutters.
Yeah, that's right.
I stopped worrying about whether that toilet got fixed or not.
Right.
I stopped worrying about whether I like the color. Because you know, when you sell your house, they change the colors. They remodeled our kitchen, changed the colors of the kitchen, changed the colors of everything. Because they were trying to sell it. It wasn't my colors. It was the seller's colors. And they were trying to capture it. But you know what? When you get to that place, I'd had another house. I didn't care. They say, you need to paint this room. Okay. Need to take this carpet up. Okay. Need to replace the carpet. Okay. Doesn't matter. We got rid of so much stuff when we were moving. And let it go. Just let it go. Because when you know you're leaving it, it doesn't mean so much. And in this life, we're getting ready to change houses.
Yes. We
are. And you're worrying about the drapes? When the house that you're going to is eternal, you're worrying about the curb appeal of this house?
Oh, my goodness. Come on.
We're worried about our problems, our shortcomings, our kids, our families. When you lay this thing down, you're not going to worry about none of them. I don't care if it comes by death or if it comes by body change. Oh, as much as you love Henry, you know what you're going to do when it's time for your body change? You ain't going to worry about Henry. And I know y'all love Henry. But the thing of the matter is, we're down here like Jesus was, and we're walking this earth like Jesus did, and we're binding and loosing like Jesus did, and we tell some people to come visit. You know, I don't even tell everybody to come to church. Isn't that odd? There's some people I worked with. They never even knew I was a Christian. They knew I was different. And the reason I didn't flash Christianity is because they don't know Christ when they see him. They saw him every day. Walk through those doors. Work with him. Served him. Did all these things. And yet didn't know him. That's what they did with the original grain. You got to know what you're looking for, Brother Lockett. Amen. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't know who I am. And in the hour we're living in, that's why the bride's got grace, 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 because she understands that they have no clue who we are. Our families don't have a clue of who we are. They don't know they got God in their house. Could you imagine if you're related to Jesus and you had him in your house? I mean, really, if your family knew that Jesus was your spouse, oh, they would be coming over, they'd be bringing you cookies. They baking stuff, washing his feet, doing. They'll be doing all manner of good stuff because Jesus is here. But they don't see that he's here. Right. Only the mature saints can see that. Everybody else just sees another child, somebody that's something they're playing with. But see, the grain has to mature. I'm going to read this, just part of what Brother Brennan said. Internal light, he said, but the thing is today, the church grain don't want to mature. It wants to stay like back in Moody's time. Sankey, Finney, Knox, Calvin. They were all right, and they were the light of the hour, but this is another hour. This is another day. This is the advancement of the gospel. It's coming to its maturity. So we can't live in what Luther said, Wesley said, or some of the rest of them. We're living in the light that's predicted for this day. Amen. We're in the seventh church age, not the third or fourth church age. The grain should be able to receive it. If it doesn't, it falls off, and it means nothing to it. The grain is matured with the light if it goes ahead with the light. As long as that word, that light's coming forth and you're stepping into that light, yes, you're the mature grain. But remember, there's some branches that gets cut off because they're not producing the fruit. You know, I went through my yard the other day and I wanted my hostas to grow. So I cut the flower off. You know what that does? Make the plant grow bigger. Don't spend so much time trying to worry about the flower. But the fruit that we're bearing in this hour, you've got to have. You've got to. You have to be the manifested word of God for the day that you're living in. And the fruit that you bear will be the word of God for your day. I wouldn't expect you to act like Luther, coming in here unsure about yourself. Not sure, oh, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. I hope I have enough faith. You know, no, that's Luther. That's not you. You're matured. You've stepped up from that. You've walked through Wesley. You've walked through Pentecost. Had Luther lived long enough, he'd have been right here with you. He'd have been praising God and doing everything that you're doing and walking with you. You know, you got to actually be able to stand up and be identified in this hour. You can't. See, what you need to understand, the day of you sitting in a church and not being involved is over. It's over. You say, I don't want to do it. Amen. God is in his body. Amen. He didn't do all he's done and brought you all the way up here for you to sit here and act like you don't have nothing to say. Amen. He didn't bring you this far for you to walk through this life and not take anybody with you. He didn't bring you this far for you not to have faith in the rapture that we're going to be involved with.
Yes. Amen.
Jesus said over there in St. John 15, I'm a true vine, my Father's a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. See, it's fruit time. It's fruit time. It's time for us to see the fruit of God in your life. It's time for it to manifest. It's When Steve gets finished with his corn, he can't do it right now. What does it look like right now, Steve? I know with the rain problem. Oh, it's up. It's up. Praise God. We need rain. Pray for rain. We need it, huh? Oh, it's raining. Praise God. Somebody must pray. But right now, it doesn't look like what Steve wants to harvest. It doesn't even look like what he put in the ground. Do you know what he put in the ground? I've been there. I know. It looks like you've had an ear corn. Cut the kernels off. Take one of those kernels. That's what Steve wants to see. He wants to see that kernel again. And it won't happen now because it's not that time. But when it's matured, it will look exactly. It'll taste exactly. It'll and every bit will be just like that original. Just like his daddy. And in the hour that we're living in the last of the days that we're living, when you look at the bride of Jesus Christ, you should be able to see the very kernel that was planted back at the beginning. Back to the original again. All the signs should be exactly back again. All the wonders should be back again. The same authority should be back again. What Jesus bound was bound. What he loosed, it was loosed. Should be back again. Healing is not impossible for us. It should be expected. We've got 100% the same authority that Jesus had. He was ordained to go in, and we're ordained to go back to the harvest time. But that can only happen when there's maturity in the body. This bride in the hour that we're living in now, we should look just like Jesus Christ. Oh, but you got to understand this too. When the bride looks just like Jesus Christ, she's going to be treated just like Jesus was treated. He was hated of the brethren. He was hated by the church world. He was despised by the people. He was crucified. He was talked about. You want a salvation where nobody's going to have anything to say about you. You're in the wrong place.
Wow.
If they hated him, they'll hate you. If they'll kill him, they'll kill you. And you need to step it up and be exactly what the grain is. Don't come in here and with your little half-witted, half-baked excuse of a Christian. You should look like a Christian. You should talk like a Christian. You should act like a Christian. Because you should be the very representation of the grain that went in the ground. Your family.
Come on.
Because he said, if you don't forsake your father, your mother, even your own self. So you gotta forsake yourself.
Yes.
It's not my will, but thine be done. It's not me, but it's Christ that liveth in me.
Amen.
It's the seed word of God on the scene again. This is a mature church now. I don't have time to baby you. I don't have time to pamper you. I don't have time to have you look and act like the world and say, call you a Christian.
That's right.
And today, this age that we're living now, this is the bride tree coming forth. See? Truly the tree has come up. And they, as soon as they organize, can't step any further. And what happened? They organize and go out on a limb. And then that limb is pruned. According to St. John 15, the 15th chapter, he prunes them off. Do you know there's been a lot of people pruned off of this church? You thought you chose to leave. You got pruned. You got the prunes. You weren't bearing fruit. You didn't go along. You had your ideas. You couldn't come subject. On and on and on. God just said, snip. And you thought you decided to leave. You know, when people have a problem with me, I make them feel so good that they think they stumped off on their accord. My old boss used to, when he had problems with his programmers, he told me, he said, Nate, I don't fight with those programmers. He said, let me show you what I do. He said, I go in my office, I close my door, I reach into my lap drawer, I pull out this thing, I've got a bunch of index cards, I set that on my desk, and I start calling these headhunters, and I start telling them how good this programmer is. And next thing you know, this programmer who knows nothing about it, he's at his desk, and his phone starts ringing off the hook. And sooner or later, you know, you fish long enough, you're going to get something. The headhunters hire him, and then they come and put their resignation in, and he's like, congratulations, good for you. I wish you well. Good. But the whole time, it wasn't there being so good. It was him moving people out. That's the way it is with the Word of God. This Word gets so hot that people can't take it. It doesn't fit what they want. And God just prunes them off. Prunes them off. Prunes them off. He said, well, he needs to stop pruning. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Prune until we get our body changed. But in the heart of that tree comes forth the fruit. Right in the top of it. When the tree is fully matured. When the church is fully matured. When the bride is fully matured. We're no longer like Luther and Wesley. You couldn't pick the fruit when Luther and Wesley had it. Because it wasn't ready. It wasn't ripe. It wasn't fully matured. But in the hour that we're living in now, we should be fully matured. We all should be fully matured. None of us should be acting like babies. None of us should be acting spoiled. None of us should act like we don't know if we fit or not. Yes, you fit. You're in the body. You know how Satan tells you, nobody at your church likes you? You know what I say to myself and Satan? I don't care. I'm not there for them. That's their problem. They got to pray over that. I don't have to worry about it. I'm here for the Word of God. I'm here to get preached to. But the thing about it, when the Word gets preached, you got to act on it. Don't just say you agree with it and never change. Let it have its perfect work in you. You're at the fruit time. You're at the end time. We are the final voice to the final age. We're the last fruit they're going to see. And what are you going to see out of you? Are you going to look like the grain? Or are you going to look like some tassel? You know, the tassel looks really close to the grain. The shuck. The shuck shaped just like the grain. But there's no life in that shuck when it's done. Don't sit here and be in shuck shaped like this message. Agree with the message. Go along with the message. And ain't no life in you. Because you know what? The little life that you think you have ain't even in you. Because it's all going back to the grain. The shuck pulls back from the grain. Oh, I don't believe that. Oh, I know I'm one of them. Brother Morris, not he doesn't. He's not know what he's talking about. Yes, I do. I do. Pull back if you want. It just proves who you are. Or it also proves who you're not. But the grain doesn't pull away. The grain just cuddles right up in there together with the other grain. You can't even hardly get in there between the grains. See, the shuck at one point, it looks good. It's right up next to the grain. And, you know, the closer to the grain you get, the more that shuck is shaped like the grain on the corn. But then you pull that shuck back and you see why it doesn't look nothing like the grain. It's just to carry your life. God used them. There are people that God used to carry the life to us. But we're here now. We're matured saints. We're not tossed to and fro. We're not children. We're not babies. You stand up and be identified. You say, well, Brother Moore, you never come and visit. That's like Brother Lynn said. Brother Moore's right when he said he won't come see you. If you step out, if you leave, he ain't come visit you. He said, I left for a year and he ain't come one time. I was like, you're right. But if you need me, I'm there. I've been with Jay for the last 3 days because he needs me. But it's not because he's immature. But if you're immature and you're not really the grain and you get your feelings hurt because I didn't shake your hand or because Brother Don passed you up and he snubbed you, and you may be right. He may have. But all I know is I was blind, but now I see. See, that's what you got to tell the devil.
Amen.
When you try to get him between you and the other grain. Try to tell him, whoa, this has got a problem with this one. This has got a problem. Do you realize everybody who leaves the church ends up having a problem with y'all? They pull back. And they think they're pulling back to preserve the life, but you know what's pulling them back is their death.
Amen.
What causes the shuck to pull away is the lack of life. But we should, as the grain, be just as much of the grain as it was that was planted when Jesus was here. And you walk around here with your head up. You walk around here binding and loosing. Oh, we're praying for healing. We pray for deliverance. We do everything that Jesus did.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
Because it belongs to us. It can't go no further. Right at the top, the last church age is here. She's in full maturity, the bride tree. Jesus was a tree of life from the Garden of Eden. Do you believe that? He said he was a tree of life, but we are too. The bride tree is the same tree. Oh my goodness. And we couldn't do what we're doing until we got matured. The church could not do what it's doing now until it got matured. Think about it. Lutheranism, not so much. Wesley, a little more. Pentecost, signs and wonders, gifts, a lot of good there. But then here comes the ripening of the bride at the top of the tree. At the top, this is the bride tree right here. At the top of the tree, that's you. None of it looked like the seed that went in. Except for you. When the fullness comes, when we're at maturing at the full age, now we're in the top of the tree. What do you mean we're in the top of the tree? This is the tree. We're in the top of the tree. Full age. Full sunlight. Do you know the sun shines brighter in the top of the tree than anywhere in the tree?
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. They're teachers, but they don't know nothing. Have you ever seen people like that? For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of God, in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You can only do that when you're full age. That's why you got to watch your kids. They think everybody's their friend. That's why they get stolen. That's why things happen to them, because they think everybody... No. You need to be able to know good from evil. And you don't do that until you're mature. And you don't get... You're strong meat. We're not giving Henry hamburgers. But you put one in front of me. Yeah, I don't know what to do with it. But the thing is, we're no longer trying to drink milk. We're not trying to be babies. We're not trying to baby each other. We're a full age. The church is a full age. The bride is a full age. We know what it is. We know good from evil. We see the devil coming from a mile away. We don't get tricked by him. If I ride with the devil, it's because I pulled over and let him in the car.
You're right.
It ain't his car.
No.
I just let him in. And you know what? When I get tired of him, I pull over and kick him out.
Right.
I'm the one in the whip behind the wheel.
Right.
You know, you say, Jesus, take the wheel. He has.
Yes. Amen.
We're not tricked by Satan no more. Not in the top of the tree.
Come on.
When you want to find out what's going on around, what do? You climb to the highest point of the tree. You see everything. The fruit's red at the top of the tree. You know, I always see apples, and the one you want is always the one you can't reach. It's up at the top. But strong meat belong to those that are full age. You give a baby strong meat, Brother Branham said, you'll kill it. That's the reason so many people say, I don't believe that, and walk away. Still babes. See, these people walk away from it. Don't think they were mature Christians. Don't think they had a revelation. No, they were babes, still babes. They just can't understand. They can't grasp the truth. It kills them. Great, mighty things the church should know today, but you can't teach it. They stumble over it. They don't know what to do with it. Jumping down, he says, oh, I know there are many who rise up and go out saying, oh, I don't need to go to church anymore. Oh, my. You ever run into those people? Don't need it anymore. You get so much God in them that all of a sudden, don't need church anymore. Brother Bernard said, you run into those people. Oh, I don't need to go to church anymore. Praise God. The Holy Ghost has come. He's the teacher. And when you get that ideal, you're just wrong. For why did the Holy Ghost set teachers in the church? If he was going to teach, if he was going to be the teacher, see? There are first apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. The Holy Spirit set teachers in the church so that he could teach through the teacher. And it isn't according to the Word of God. It doesn't confirm it. If it isn't according to the Word of God and God doesn't confirm it, then it isn't the right kind of teaching. It must compare with the entire Bible and just as alive today as it was then. There's the real thing made manifest. See, if they're saying, we don't need to go to church anymore. I don't need you, pastor. I don't need the ministry. I don't need the fivefold ministry. Brother Branham said, our prophet said, you're just wrong. He didn't even fight it about it. He didn't argue about it. He didn't try to prove it. He said, you're just wrong. Wrong. That's all you are, just wrong. You got to have a man. He's not going to do it just osmosisly, just going to appear in your brain. No, you got to have it preached. It's got to be preached to you. God's got to preach to you. God's got to get in your face, spit in your face, or however you want to word it. He's got to get in your mustache. Now, just to think about Revelation chapter 4, verse 7. And the first beast was a lion. And the second beast was like a calf. And the third beast was like the face of man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Three out of four of those beasts that worked down through the church ages were milk drinkers. They drank milk. That's where they all start. They may get to meat, but they start with milk. But not an eagle. When you get to the eagle age, that's the mature age. That's the meat age. That's when God's going to deal with you with strong meat. He's going to tell you when you're wrong. You know, we don't take you in the back room. I'll call your name right over the pulpit if I have to. Ain't nobody in here's like, oh, well, here he goes again. Oh, it's just like, it's my turn this time. I had people tell me, you shouldn't put everything on the internet. I said, this is a real church with real problems. Amen. I'll deal with you right where you sit. I'll try to preach you, and if you listen to me, I won't call your name. And I'll just deal with you undercover. And I'll let you get away with it. And nobody else in the church but you and God will know that he's talking to you. But sometimes God's got to snatch you up. Sometimes you got to call your name. And it happens so often around here. Not a lot often, but it happens often enough that none of y'all are surprised when it does. And we don't even feel bad. Our Sunday nights are great because everybody's in here. It's like we're all sitting here in our underwear. not literally. I better say that because people don't know what we do on Sunday night. They say if you get nervous around somebody, you should picture them in their underwear and it take the nerves down. But we're all sitting around basically, you know, just relaxed on Sunday night. We're calling names. We're asking questions. Sometimes you get shot down with your answers like, I believe it's this. No, you're wrong. Nobody gets their feelings hurt. Nobody stomps out. It's okay, then what's the answer? And then we go through the congregation, we get all answered. And it's a home family night. Not church people, not literally in their underwear. lest they interpret that wrong. But we're at home. It's family. We're not putting on airs. We're not trying to act like somebody's better than somebody else. You can get an answer from anybody in the body. You can get help from anybody in the body. That's the way the body should be. And it happens on Sunday night, but it happens on Sunday morning. And it happens on Wednesday night. And it happens during the week when you talk to each other. When you call your brother or your sister and they're having an issue. You say, oh, sis, straighten it up. You know better than that. That's maturity. Husband and wife, they don't have to put on airs. They're sitting down and she does something he doesn't like, he'll tell her. He does something she don't like, she'll tell him. We're not like those messages that got headship so that the wife can't even talk. I went to a church one time and we walked in, me and Parnett were going to visit a church, and we walked in, there was a room full of sisters. And we were like, where is the brother? I won't mention his name. I asked for the brother. We said, well, where's brother so-and-so? And the sisters looked at us like deer in the headlights. None of them opened their mouth. They all just sort of... And a brother walked in, and he took care of business. But I thought, my goodness. And it looked like a compound when we got there anyway. And then after I saw that, I thought, oh, my goodness. No. Oh, no. When you're of full age, the husband and the wife speaks. When you are of full age, you're partners in the home. You're helping each other. If I need something drawn, I ain't going to do it. You know who I'm going to ask. But it's some stuff she needs built. You know what Clarice would do? I'll tell you what she'll do. She'll duct tape anything. That's her answer for anything, is duct tape. She don't know where the screwdrivers are or the screw gun. She don't know where I keep my screws. She'll duct tape it. I'll come in and I'll find something like, what's this? Oh, there's a hole back there. Why, did you ever think that we need to cut the drywall out and replace it? No, duct tape. So if you're going to get anything built at our house, it's coming from me. But if you want something drawn, don't ask me, because you're going to get a stick person and that's going to look funny. But we're helpmates one of another. In the end time, when you're mature, you know where your points are, where your strengths and weaknesses are, and the bride is, she knows what to do with the word. He expects us to be out here just taking the land.
That's right.
Not fussing and fighting over everything and not unhappy about everything and miserable. There's no reason the bride should be miserable. And she won't be miserable. They all drink milk except for that eagle. That eagle eats meat from day one. The eagle eats meat at the end time. We're not trying to baby you into this thing. We're mature saints of God. We know what it is. We have moved into the full age of maturity. We don't have to pat each other. And this has been a while for us to get mature like this, because when I first come to this message, we had a bunch of babies in here. We really did. Bunch of babies. Get their feelings hurt, you don't invite them. Because back then we had the song leader to point out who they wanted them to sing. If he didn't call your name, you didn't get to sing. And if he didn't have you sing, get your feelings hurt, sit out of church. Or a sister tells another sister something about another sister. They get the feelings hurt, and they have a fuss between the three. Now, my expectation is you sisters, if one sister starts talking about another, you know what I expect you to do?
Yes, sir.
Rebuke her!
Amen. Amen.
If I hear a brother gossiping about another brother, you know what I expect you to do?
Yeah.
Rebuke him.
Yeah.
You, don't bring it to me.
That's right.
You got as much God in you as I got in me. You know it's right, and you know when it's wrong.
Right.
You don't need me to tell you. When somebody's slacking off, tell them, hey, ain't seen you in church.
Yeah.
What you doing?
Yeah.
You give up? You quit? You look like you're backing off to me.
Oh.
Shuck does that.
Yeah.
That's what Pastor said last Sunday. Shuck does that. You're backing off.
Oh.
Are you shuck?
Amen.
You're slowing down on me.
Yeah.
What happened to your testimony? I hadn't heard you testify. You used to bring songs to church. You don't bring no songs no more. See, what you got to watch is that when you start getting cold, everybody know it. And you think nobody notices. You just think you're coasting to a stop. Everybody's like, there they go. Check yourself. It's an hour. You're mature. Check yourself. Find out. Am I still on fire? Have I left my first love? Have I gotten cold? Am I getting indifferent on what time I come to church? Am I getting different how I even wear, what I dress, how I come to church? You know, some people, you know, you could tell how some people feel about church by how they dress. Have y'all noticed Kevin stepping it up? Remember what he testified. See, y'all don't think I remember. He said it. And he said, I can do better. And you know what? He put his money where his mouth is. That's all I'm saying. A lot of people talk. A mature Christian not only talks, because you got to testify, but you back it by your manifestation. He said, that don't have nothing to do with salvation. No, it doesn't. But it's a sign, you know. Just because you sneeze don't mean you got pneumonia. But it could be a sign. But check it out. But, yeah, it's an outward expression. And it's an hour that you are the grain. You, and I'm talking to me here. You are the grain. The same grain that was here 2,000 years ago. You should look like that grain. You should act like that grain. And if we bear you, you should bear fruit like that grain. By their fruit. Matthew chapter 24. Wheresoever the carcass is, the only ones that's gathering there are the eagles. Not those other beasts. The meat eaters. God wants us to eat meat. God wants us to eat this strong meat. The bride, she loves the strong. Yes. Oh, I don't want you to come here and whitewash me. I want you to pat me on the back, make me feel good. Tell me what I need to do. Tell me where, you know, this is a house of correction. I need you to correct me. I need you to tell me where to make the next step. I don't want to just come here and be the same man I was last year. No, sir. I want to grow. I want to move. I want to produce. I want to bring forth fruit. That's my heart's desire. That's the bride's heart's desire. And I don't want to be the same person I was. Amen. Mature into full age. I'm just moving right along because it's afternoon. Okay, we're growing into the stature of that perfect man. That's why I put the fivefold ministry in according to Ephesians 4. It said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you know we're at the stature of the fullness of Christ now? We're here. This is what they've been building and working on for 2,000 years. This is what the fivefold ministry has been pushing. It's been this whole thing that's been going on for the last 2,000 years was to get you where you are right now. My goodness. I'm going to read one more quote here. Well, two more. The revelation of Jesus Christ in this hour, not what he was in another hour, what is now, the Bible expresses, it's growing into the bride to the full stature. Therefore, if a corn of wheat of Christ has to fall into the ground, so did the bride have to fall into the ground through the dark ages. Any grain that goes into the ground must die, or it can't produce itself, reproduce itself. That's the great and the great church that he established on the day of Pentecost by sending the Holy Ghost had to suffer martyrdom and go into the dirt, into the earth, into the dark ages, and to bring forth again the age of Luther and come out to the full stature of the bride of Christ for this last day. That's where we're at, people. This is what we're here to do. You want to be, you know, we sing a song, to be like Jesus? Well, we're here. We can do it now. We got everything at our disposal.
That's right.
The Word of God is behind us 100%. Everything that He was, we are. All that God was, He poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, He poured into the bride. And the bride now is, looks just like her husband because she's matured now. She's no longer a child, no longer a baby. There was a baby down through the ages, but not now. Now you tell the devil where to get off. You do just like Jesus did. Remember what Jesus did? Jesus there, and He had fasted for 40 days. And the devil come and approach Him. See, if the devil approach Him, he'll approach you. He can approach you.
Yeah.
And He approached Jesus and gave Him an offer.
Yeah.
Said, I'll give you all this. Jesus like, give it. I'm getting ready to pay for this, bub.
Right.
This belongs to me.
Right.
And He said, it's not even lawful for you to be doing this. He put Him in His place. And the devil's like, what? No, it's not lawful.
Come on.
Get on behind me, Satan.
Yes.
Okay. He's got to go. But if that was Him, that should be us.
Amen.
That is us. Only reason we don't use that is because we don't realize it in us. But I'm telling you today, we are the grain, the matured saints of God who are the grain now, and now it's in our hands. It is finished, and it's in the bride. The bride is on her feet. She knows what it is. The Spirit and the bride say, come. We are the final voice to the final age. Everything Brother Brennan was telling us is true.
Yes, sir.
And it's in our hands now.
Yes.
What are you going to do with this Jesus called Christ?
Come on.
It's on our hands. We need to do this. It's up to us. And if we don't do it, I don't even know how to finish that, because it's like, we will do it.
Right.
It's like, if you don't do it, let me put it like that. If you don't do it, it just shows you're shucking, not grain. Because the grain is ordained to do it. The grain, do you realize that every seed that Steve planted in the spring, when it manifests this manifestation in the fall when it's mature, he'll take every bit of that. He don't want to turn none of that down. That's money. He's worked hard for that. And Jesus is not going to turn any of us down. He worked hard for this. He paid it. He stood there. He built it. He put it all together. He answered. He opened the seals, released them, brought them down here, His word, put it down here, give it to us, revealed it to us. He's worked hard to get you here, Mr. Grain.
That's right. Amen.
There's a price tag on every kernel of corn that Steve will harvest in the fall. It cost him. Cost him gas. It cost him land. It cost him fertilizer. It cost him all the machinery and equipment and the time. And by the time he gets to the fall, you think he's just going to leave it sitting out there? Say, well, whoo, I worked so hard this summer. I guess, well, I don't feel like going to get it. Oh, phew. He'll push Judy out of the way getting out that door. I gotta go. Can't sit in here. I got harvest time. I paid for this. I have given my life for this. And now it's exactly what I saw when I put it in the ground. And God is looking at this bride, this mature bride, says she's exactly what I saw in Him. And she's on her feet now. We're no longer being pushed around by Satan. We know what it is. We are maturing to a full age. We have matured. And now we know what it is. And that's why we walk and talk like we do. That's why they can't get us down and out. It's like they push you under, but we come back up. They try to knock you down, but we get back up. They say you're no good, but we say we're good enough to go. They say you can't be there. They say God said I can go. You know, if God said, if you get an invite to the White House from the president,
right.
And the mayor of Fairborn comes, you say, now, Don, you can't go to the White House. You're like, but he said I can come. But you know what? You need to spend time on your farm. You got a garden out there to attend. But he said I could go. But you don't have enough money to get there. No, I'll get there because he said I could go. I mean, when you get the invite from him, it doesn't matter what the world, the devil, or anybody else says. I'm going because he said I can go. You say, you should be down and out, but I can't be down and out when I've been invited to heaven. It's already, he's already paid the price. He's already put me on the bus. He's already paid my token. He's already gave me everything I need to get there. Oh my goodness. This bride knows what it is now. She's mature. We're not babies now. We know what it is. When your family tell you you're crazy, you say, that's all right. When your friends look at you like you're nuts, you say, that's all right. When your wife or your husband look at you like you don't know what you're talking about, say, you talk like a foolish man or woman, but that's all right. In my skin, I will see him. I know what it is. I'm a mature bride now. I look just like him. I look just like him. I look just like my father. And it doesn't matter if you say, well, he's not your father. Doesn't matter what you say. I look just like him. Well, I don't like the way your daddy looks. That's all right, but he's my daddy, not yours. Jesus said, if he was your father, you'd treat me like he was our father. But Abraham's not your father. You're of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father, you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And that's exactly what he's going to try to do to us. But that's okay. He said, I can go. It can't be any other way. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning so grateful for your word. Thank you for this mature bride that's sitting here at the top of the tree, knowing exactly what it is, knowing who she is, knowing the authority you've given us. We look just like you. They don't like the way we look, but Lord, you like the way we look because you're our Father and we're your children. I ask you, Lord, to continue to be with us. Take everything that belongs to us. Move everything out of the way and move us right to where we belong. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for this congregation here that loves your word. Thank you, Lord, because I'm looking out there and I'm seeing kernels of corn that looks just like the original. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm thankful that we have what we have. I ask you to be with us, Lord. Be with those that are sick, Jay, and be with Dawn and her sisters and the different ones that are going through things. And Lord, I know it's tough, but Lord, you're tougher. We want to stand right on your promises. Don't even pay attention to the doctors, but look at your promises, knowing that, Lord, you said whatever's temptation is there, you'll make a way out. And Lord, when Satan tries to come up, you'll raise up a standard, and we ask you to do so. Be with us today, standing on your promises, standing and looking for you to touch Anna's eyes, looking to touch Clarice's eyes, looking to touch Sister Judy's eyes, and looking to you to touch Trevor, looking to you to just be with this body, Lord, and all the facets that we're going through. Lord, we're going through things, but Lord, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Thank you for this word, because if it wasn't for this word, where would we be? Thank you for the peace and the love and the joy that you give us in the midst of the storm. Thank you for how you've watched over us and you allowed us to come one more time to your house to praise you for what you have done. As Michelle says, we praise you in advance for what you're doing in our lives. Ask you to be with us, Lord, till we meet again this evening. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Yeah. For Jack. I'll get two. I'll take two. And I'm going down there so I could take it when I go. Come on, musicians. Don, I think I'll have you in the service because Clarice had to leave early, so I'm going to play the organ. I'm going to multitask. Amen. Remember Dawn, too. It's hard when your loved ones are suffering. And we want to make sure that we keep them in our prayers. And we're busy. We've got a lot of things going on. But God is the one that's the author. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to share with you guys. Yesterday I was babysitting. And there is this woman knocked the door. And so I'm thinking, oh. She's got like a long hair and, she's wearing dresses. And so I opened the door and she says, excuse me, can I give you these pamphlets? So I said, oh, yeah, sure, but I'm just babysitting, but I'm going to give this to them later at 7 because they'll be home at 7. Well, I can give you another pamphlet. So I said, oh, okay. So when I look at the pamphlets, it's like a Calvary Baptist Church. And like, so she asked me, like, do you know where is that at? It's over there in West Alec. I said, I can Google it, but I'm not going to do that because, you know what? I said, I have a church, you know, I have a church in Fairborn. Oh, you go to church? So I said, yes, I do, ma'am. And so she says, like, well, you know, I just want you to read these things in the bottom. I said, what is it? Like, a question there. Like, how are you sure 100% or you're going to heaven? I said, yes, ma'am, definitely I can answer that. So I didn't really give her a chance. Just I said, you know what? I'm going to tell you. I do not have time to explain this to you all day, but I can tell you what I know. I said, exactly, I know exactly 100% on 1% that I'm going to heaven. Because you know why? I said, because he said so. And he predestinated me before the foundation of the world. And you said here at Calvary is enough. Yes, that's what he did for me. I said, Calvary is enough for me that he took care of everything. Like he sighed on me, the blood come out just to save me.
That's right.
And she just said, amen, amen to that. Very, very nice, gentle, nice spirit. I said, yeah, so I said, you know what? I said, I thank God. I said, to know what I know, especially nowadays, that is a very late hour. You should know. Do you know that there is a message of the hour that we're following? Do you know that? No. And I said, you know what? I just wish that you can go to my church. Oh, the thing is, my husband is a pastor, and I'd rather like stay here. I said, well, that's okay, but you know what? That's what I know. So I just want to tell you and you know, share that with you. And like, well, amen. Well, God bless you. Have a nice day. I said, you too.
Yeah, you can be a witness. You can definitely be a witness. Amen.
There's two things I wanted to go off of what Kevin said, because he didn't tell you guys the date again and the time, because we changed the time again. It's August 18th, which is a Friday, and we moved it from 3 to 4:30 for people that had to work. We thought maybe 30 minutes would help them. I don't know, but we did 4:30. And then I just wanted to co-sign off of what Pastor said. I was telling him, you know, me and Kevin, we always go to Florida. We go to Florida at least 4 times a year, and I had a conversation with my dad, and we always tell people, hey, we would move to Florida if it wasn't for our home church. And my dad made a comment to Kevin, and he said, well, you know, there's Catholic churches everywhere, so he said you can move to Florida. And I told Pastor Moore, it took everything in me not to say, well, Dad, but Pastor Moore's not there, and Jay's not there, you know, our church is not there, you know. But I was smart. No matter how old I get, I'm still my dad's little girl. And Pastor Moore even said, "That's right. You better not had said nothing, because it. I mean, you know, you there's certain things you respect your parents, you know. And I'm grown, very grown. Like I said, my oldest is 30, so it's not that." I'm fearful of that. It's just respect. And I know like I told Pastor Moore, my dad introduced me to God. But as an adult, this is what I chose. I never chose any church or felt comfortable in any church but this one. And I want everybody to know that I love him. I'm co-signing. I'm always got Pastor Moore's back. So I just want to say thank you and that I'm blessed.
Amen. 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 Don't forget to remember the body. There's some that are on vacation and some that are traveling. Different things going on. It's the summertime, so we've got a lot going on. But you know what? We got two or three. That's all we need. And God will be in the midst. And he always comes. So let's just pray for these cloths. And we'll send them both to Jay and to Courtney. And ask God's just blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, knowing that this is a mature hour for this bride, and Lord, we know who we are, we know what we ask, and we ask you to send these cloths in the places where they are needed. And Father, it's not the power of the cloth, it's the power of the prayer, the revelation and the understanding of who we are. Lord, there was a man that came to Jesus one time, and he said, if you would just speak the word,
Just speaking the word, my servant could be healed. Lord, this morning we're speaking the word for Jay and speaking the word for Courtney and speaking the word for Dawn and their sisters. Lord, I ask you to move on these cases. And Lord, we ask you, because you're set by your stripes, we're healed. We're not getting off of the word at all. We're standing right there at that. And we're looking for healing. We're looking for deliverance. And we send these cloths in your name. We ask you to move, Father. Touch and keep us. Bless this congregation until we get back together this evening. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Don, you want to come and you can sing something and I'll play for you.
Sing. I surrender all. Take this to heart, bride. Take this to heart. Finding it. It is. Ah, 25. Sometimes it's hard to surrender. You got to give up. You got to die to your own thinking, die to your own idea. But that's a Christian walk. Amen. I surrender, Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Thee I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee.
You're dismissed.